15, it says, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind. And it's pretty hard to hide the wind. It's hard to hide a contentious woman. And the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself. Continual dropping, obviously, this is on just like the rain. It just keeps coming down and just keeps coming down and keeps coming down and keeps coming down and keeps coming down and keeps coming down. And that's what it's talking about here. Yeah, just like the rain keeps coming down and keeps coming down on a very rainy day, so is a contentious woman. It keeps coming down, keeps coming down, keeps coming down. Basically the same thing. Here's what I have written down here, and this is a kind way of putting it. Be good-natured. Be good-natured. It's amazing what's in the Bible, isn't it? Just like you can't hide a contentious woman. The word contentious, of course, that's talking about there. A woman that fight, wants to fight, always wants to fight about something. Always something to fight about. And a woman just like that is just like a rainy day. Just always rains, always coming down, always coming down. By the way, women ought to be good-natured, but men ought to be good-natured also. Wives, the Bible says for you to be good-natured. But that doesn't mean men ought not be good-natured also. There's some men, they can always find something to fight about also. Now, that's what the Bible says here, but I thought I'd throw that in for the ladies, amen? The Bible's talking about you ladies. And it says, be good-natured. You don't always have to be fighting about something. You don't have to find something to fight about all the time. And there ought to be something. By the way, there's nothing wrong with yielding. Did you know that? There's nothing wrong with yielding. Nothing wrong with giving in. If one person yields, you can't fight. One person yields, they might get killed, but you won't have a fight. So if you yield, you won't fight. If one person yields, there's no fight. It's just a murder. But it's a good lesson to learn, by the way. You can yield. There's nothing wrong with men yielding in a fight. Bible never says a man has to win every fight. Bible doesn't say that. Bible only says 90% of the fights should the man win. There's nothing wrong with a man yielding. Bible, by the way, the Bible says submit yourselves one to another. Doesn't say wives submit to their husbands completely. There are times when men ought to yield. Men ought to submit. Men ought to give in. Very seldom, but it does happen that they ought to. There's nothing wrong with a man yielding to his wife. She doesn't have to be right for you to yield. Just yield for a little while until you can finally get her calmed down where you can explain it to her again. So the Bible says here, a continual dropping in very rainy day, contentious women are alike. Be good-natured. Be good-natured. And that's a good rule for everybody. We don't always have to be fighting about things. You can give in. You can yield. You can be good-natured. And I believe that's what the Bible's teaching there. Look in verse 18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. The Bible teaches that there is a blessing and there is an honor on those who wait upon their master. Now, humanly speaking, here's what we think. We think the person who is waited upon is the one that is honored, don't we? Humanly speaking, the one who is waited upon, he's the one who has received the honor. The Bible says, the one who does the waiting upon, he's the one that will receive the honor. Totally against what man thinks and what we believe and what man believes where we get honor. We think, well, that person has many folks waiting upon him, he's very honored. No, those many people who are waiting upon him, they are very honored because God gives them the honor. And you're far better getting honor from God than getting honor from man. You may get honor from man for a few years. And maybe you live your 70 and get honor from man. But you're far better off getting honor for eternity. And God can honor those who serve. Here's what I have written down here. Be loyal. Be loyal. By the way, the Bible still teaches, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You will reap the kind of loyalty that you give. You want loyalty in your family? You give loyalty. By the way, anything that you give, that's what you'll get back. What you give is what you'll get back. You give loyalty, you'll get back loyalty. You give money, you'll get back money. You give honor, you'll get back honor. What you give, you'll get. Be loyal. For instance, I believe you ought to be loyal to your church. I believe that. I believe you ought to be loyal to your church. In other words, there is no perfect churches. There is none. And if you found one, the minute you joined it, it became imperfect again. There are no perfect churches because there are no perfect people. And you can find problems with this church. Well, maybe you could. And you can find problems with this church. This church is not perfect. And it won't be perfect till Jesus comes back again and reigns upon this earth. And maybe then we can get close to perfect anyway. But this church is not perfect. And this church will not be perfect in 1989, will not be perfect in 1990. Now, we're going to stand upon the Bible. We're going to preach the Word of God, and we're going to try to get folks saved. But the more folks we get in here, the less perfect we're going to become. Because the more people you got, the more imperfect you got. And we're going to keep trying to get folks in here and get folks saved and bring them in here and try to get them to grow more like Jesus and become more perfect themselves, but they'll not be perfect. You ought to be loyal and ought to learn to be loyal to your church. If I probably know more about this church than any of you know about. If I want to, I could go to every one of you and find something to criticize this church about. I could find something to criticize this pastor about because I probably know this pastor more than you know. A lot better than you know him. And you want to know some things to criticize this preacher about, come to me. I'll give you a whole bunch of things. But that doesn't mean, just because you can find things about this church to criticize about doesn't mean you ought to criticize the church. You don't need to criticize the church. Be loyal to your church. You know the best thing to do? If you see something wrong, fix it. Just get in there. Walk around saying, well, bless God, it ought to be done this way. Well, won't you get in there and get to work? Get busy. The busiest people are the less critical people. Did you ever notice that? The folks that are the busiest are the less critical. Because if they are, they're critical of themselves because they're the ones that are doing the work. It's pretty easy to sit back and say, so-and-so should have done it this way. Won't you get in there and do it then? Do the job that needs to be done. Be loyal. I don't know who said it, but whoever said it was a good statement. He said, if you ain't loyal, you ain't nothing. May not have been good grammar, but it's a good Bible. Amen? And you ought to be loyal. You ought to be loyal to the Grace Bible Baptist Church. You're a member of this church, you ought to be loyal to it. And be loyal to this ministry. Be loyal to the pastor. Now, I'm not saying you ought to be loyal to the pastor if the pastor's wrong. I didn't say that. If the pastor goes wrong, you stay loyal to Jesus. But Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And as long as the pastor is following Christ, the pastors and the leadership of the church, be loyal. Be loyal to the leadership of this church. Be loyal to them. It's easy. If you want to find something about the deacon board, the deacon, to be disloyal about and to criticize about, good night. There's all kinds of things about our deacon you could find to criticize. But you ought to be loyal. Be loyal. Be loyal to leadership of this church. Be loyal to the pastor. Be loyal to the church. And you ought to be loyal. Be loyal to the Sunday school team. Be loyal to any leadership in this church you ought to be loyal to. And so I believe, according to the Bible, we ought to be loyal. Look in verse 19. As in water, face answers to face, so the heart of man to man. One thing that you ought to do is you ought to live so you can look yourself in the mirror and not be ashamed. You ought to live your life so that when you get up in the morning, and men, when you stand before that, I'll qualify this, men, when you stand before that mirror and shave your face in the morning, you ought to be able to stand there and not feel bad because of your life or because of something you've done. You ought to be able to look yourself face as man, face to face, and realize that you've done the very best you could do, and you've done the best you could do to serve God, and you've given your life to Him, and not be ashamed. Here's what I have written down. Live so as you can answer to yourself. Live so you can so as you can answer to yourself. You don't have to live your life to answer to somebody else. You'll answer to God, and you ought to live so you can answer to yourself. What a pity it is that many folks that walk around feeling awful all the time, always convicted, always under conviction. Make those things right. If you've done wrong, make it right. And then go on from there to do right. But you ought to be able to stand before the mirror, and you ought to be able to look yourself in the face and say, "There may not everybody may agree with me, but I know I've stood for what is right." I think it was Barry Goldwater, who said, "In your heart, you know I'm right. In your heart, you know I'm right." And that's how we ought to do when we stand before the mirror. We ought to say, "In my heart, I know I'm right." You can have other folks come up and pat you on the back, and you can get praise from others, but in your heart, you know whether you've done right or not. In your heart, for instance, young people, you can go out, you can steal, you can go out and cheat on your tests when you're in school. You can go out and cheat. And you can get a good grade, and everybody else can pat you on the back and say, "Look at the good grade you got." But I'd rather be able to stand in front of the mirror and say, "I may not have got the best grade in the class, but I did the best I could." I'd rather be able to stand in the face and know what I got, I earned, and didn't cheat to get it. By the way, you ought to live so that you can look yourself in the face, in the mirror, and realize you've done the very best you could do. You didn't get it by wrong. You didn't get it by sin. You didn't get it by cheating. And you don't have anything that you can say, I've messed up in sin. I've got sin. Confess it. Go on and do what's right to do. Live your life. Live so you got a clear conscience before God. That you don't have God always bringing back conviction to you because of the sin that's in your life. Live so you can answer yourself, so as you can answer to yourself. Look in verse 21. "As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is man to his praise." Here's what I've written down. Probably one of the hardest things that man has to learn how to get along with, a successful man has to learn how to get along with. Most people can take criticism and can keep on going. More people are probably ruined by praise than are ruined by criticism. More people are probably ruined by praise, did you hear that, than they are by criticism. Here's what I have written down. Learn how to take praise. Now, there's nothing wrong with praise as long as the praise is proper. There's a difference between flattery and praise. Flattery is wrong. Praise is right. But even when you're praising, by the way, the things that we ought to praise things that are godly character. Those are the things that ought to be praised. You know what man looks for? Here's what man praises in man. Man praises in man, number one, intelligence. Number two, money. Number three, looks. That's what man praises. Man will praise number one, intelligence. He'll praise number two, money. And number three, I don't care if the guy's got money, that people will flock around and praise that guy and honor that guy because he's got money. If a guy's got intelligence, he can raise himself up to a certain point and men will honor him and praise him. In women, here's what women are praised for. Number one, looks. Number two, money. Number three, intelligence. Women don't need intelligence for praise. And that's what man will praise in a woman. Praise, number one, looks. Number two, money. Number three, intelligence. Those three things are what man praise in men and in women. By the way, that's not necessarily godly character. Those are not the things that need to be praised. You don't need to praise somebody for their money. You don't need to praise somebody for their looks. God gave them their looks. They were given by God. Why praise that? Whatever looks you've got, God gave it to you. You need to praise their intelligence. You ought to praise godly character. Those are the things that ought to be praised. Learn how to accept praise. Here's one way you can accept praise. Here's one wrong way you can accept praise. Somebody comes up to you and says, you taught a class or something. Say, "Boy, that was a tremendous lesson you gave." And you could say, "Well, I just give all the glory to God." Well, obviously, knucklehead, you ought to give all the glory to God. That comes without saying. You don't need to say that. That's not how you accept praise. Or you can say, "Well, yes, I know. Yes, it was Yeah, yes, I usually give a pretty good lesson, and that's not the way to accept it. You know, we can accept it so with so. Oh wait, both of those are pride. Did you realize that? Well, I don't take any. I just give all the glory to God. Well, if you're any kind of Christian at all, obviously you're giving the glory to God. You don't have to tell everybody. That's pride. I give all the glory to God. Well, you're kind of proud about it, aren't you? You're so humble. You're proud about it. And yes, of course, yes, I normally do give a pretty good lesson. You know the best thing to do when you get praise? Just say, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Just accept praise. You don't have to get big-headed about it. You don't have to get proud about it. Learn, and here's what most folks will do. They'll get praise. Somebody will come up and say, well, that was a tremendous lesson you gave. And they'll start thinking, you know, maybe it was. Maybe I did give a good lesson. You know, maybe I am a tremendous teacher. Maybe that's so. And more times, folks will get ruined by praise, by not accepting praise properly. Anything that we accomplish for good, obviously, we ought to give God, and everything we do, we ought to be giving God the glory for. Or we're not going to accomplish anything anyway. We ought to spend our life giving God the glory for all that we do, and honor Him for what we do. You don't need to walk around telling everybody, yes, everything I do, I give God the glory for. You just ruin it just there. Give Him the glory, not tell everybody else about it. Give the glory to Him. And learn how to accept praise. Don't get big-headed about it. Don't get proud about it. Just accept praise. And by the way, nothing wrong with a little praise. If you're doing anything for God, you're going to get criticized enough that you need some praise just to balance it out once in a while. Don't worry about it. We'll give him a big head. Don't worry. Probably getting so criticized anyway. If he's doing anything for God, he's getting criticized enough. He needs a little praise once in a while just to balance things out. If somebody's godly, you can praise somebody for godly character. And if they're godly and spiritual, they'll be able to accept that praise and remain biblical humble, not humanly humble. Learn how to take praise. Learn how to accept praise. All right, let's look down in verse 23. This is a verse we studied before, but I want to show you something in this that we didn't study. Verse 23, it says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds." One of the main verses we used when talking about finances. But I want to take one word out of this verse and study that word, and that is the word diligent. Be thou diligent. And I have simply written down for that, be diligent. Be diligent. Look in Colossians chapter 3, and I'll show you probably one of the best definitions that we can take for the word diligent. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Here's what diligence is, and here's the definition I have for diligence. Performing every task as though done directly for the Lord. Performing every task as though done directly for the Lord. That's diligence. Performing every task as though done directly for the Lord. You know what that means? That means, ladies, washing dishes can be spiritual. Do you realize that? That doesn't sound very spiritual to me. If you're diligent in that task, that means you're doing that task, even that task right there, you're doing it as unto the Lord. You know where your reward's going to get when you do the dishes as unto the Lord? Look in verse 24. "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." See, when you are diligent, you know where you're going to get your reward? From the Lord. You don't need somebody coming up and patting you on the back for the job you did. Because you're not doing it for the pat on the back anyway, you're doing it for the Lord. every duty, every job, everything we do, we can be diligent. Sweeping the floors, you can be diligent about it, which means you can do it for the Lord. Whatever you do. So I just thought that going soul winning was the only thing that was spiritual. Anything you do that's done unto the Lord can be spiritual. By the way, sweeping the floors can help get folks saved. You know, everything you do ought to be done as unto the Lord. Everything you do. And so we ought to be diligent. I didn't say sweeping the floors would get them saved, but it's a step anyway. Maybe it'll open up a conversation where you can talk with them about getting saved. But everything you do, you can do as unto the Lord, and you can be diligent about it. Lord, the Bible says, be thou diligent. Say, preacher, what's it mean to be diligent? Do it as unto the Lord. Do it heartily as unto the Lord, every task. Look back in the book of Proverbs, and let's look at some of these benefits of diligence. Proverbs chapter 12, look in verse 24. Proverbs 12, verse 24. Says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Notice again the word diligent. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. See, when I am diligent, in other words, what I am doing, if I'm doing it unto the Lord, not for the praise of man, not for man, but I'm doing it unto the Lord. By the way, wives, that's a good way you can learn to submit to your husbands if you do it as unto the Lord. That's what the Bible says to do, doesn't it? Submit to your husband as unto the Lord. That's being diligent in it. Be diligent in everything that you do. That means do it as unto the Lord, and you'll get reward from Him. So it says here, if you'll be diligent, it says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. Here's what I have written down here. If you're diligent, it leads you to a place of influence. It leads you to a place of influence. And that's what we want. We want to be able to influence others. Right? How are you going to get them saved if you don't get them influenced? If you don't influence them? You got to influence them for what is right. Being diligent will give us a place of influence. And so that we can talk with others. When somebody sees a person and says, well, that person is diligent in what he does. He's a diligent worker. He's diligent in his task. And that gives you opportunity and influence upon that person that you may witness to that person and bring him to Christ. Diligence brings influence. Look in chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The Bible teaches also, for those that are diligent, you'll even get your soul fat. By the way, that's what we want. We want the soul fat. So it says, if you'll be diligent, it'll make your soul fat. Here's what it means. Diligence gives a satisfying life. Makes your soul. And that's what that represents. Makes it satisfies your soul. It gives you a satisfying life. So being diligent satisfies. Well, many folks aren't satisfied because they're not diligent. They're not doing it as unto the Lord. If you're living your life for money, you'll never be satisfied. If you're working for fame, you'll never be satisfied. Never will. You'll get some fame and you'll want some more fame. You'll get some money and you'll want some more money. Money will never satisfy. Fame will never satisfy. You say, well, if I just had $1 million, I'd be satisfied. You look at a lot of people that have $1 million that aren't satisfied. They're always looking for more. I don't remember who it was. Somebody asked so-and-so, one of the great billionaires said, when will you be satisfied? When will how much more money do you need? And here's his answer. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Billions of dollars. How much more? When were you going to be satisfied? When I get just a little bit more. And that's how it always is. Anything you search for outside of God's way, you'll always need just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Fame? When are you going to be satisfied? When I get just a little bit more. Money? When are you going to get satisfied? When I get just a little bit more. You know how you get satisfied? By being diligent. If you're doing everything you do as unto the Lord, that'll bring satisfaction. Bring a fat soul, bring a satisfying life. Also, says the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The soul of the sluggard, those that aren't diligent, desireth and have nothing. They desire, they have a goal. They say, here's my goal, but they never reach their goal. Never do. You know what the diligent does? The diligent says, here's my goal, and through diligence reaches that goal. Here's the third thing. Diligence helps you reach and fulfill your goals. Diligence helps you to reach and fulfill your goals. Every one of us ought to set goals in our life. You ought to set goals of what you want to accomplish. Set some goals of what you want to accomplish for the Lord. And then go about doing it as unto the Lord. And you can fulfill your goals. Diligence will fulfill your goals. Look in chapter 21, verse 5. Bible says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Diligent develops a resourceful mind. That word plenteous means profit or profitable. If you're diligent, it'll develop a resourceful mind and profitable thoughts, plenteousness. It'll help develop your mind. Help to get your mind on those things that are right. If you're saying, today, everything I do, I'm going to do as unto the Lord, think how that'll develop your mind. Help it to be profitable. Your thoughts will be profitable, resourceful, if you're diligent in what you do. Look in chapter 22, verse 9. It says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. Yeah, that's not the verse I wanted. 22, verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Being diligent opens doors of opportunity. So if you're diligent, you're going to stand before kings. Diligence will open up doors of opportunity. You, through your diligence, you'll be able to reach folks that you never could before without diligence. You can stand before kings, the Bible says, by being diligent. You can witness to people through diligence that you'd have no other way of reaching those people than by being diligent. So diligent will even open up doors of opportunity. Look back in chapter 10, in verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Diligence even multiplies your finances. That's something. Being diligent will even help you out financially. If you do everything you do, if you say, well, I'm doing everything I do just to get more money. Well, you might get more money, you might not. You ought to be diligent in doing everything you do as unto the Lord. Do your work as unto the Lord. You're better off, far better off getting God's blessings than getting the boss's blessings. You're far better off getting God's blessings in your life than getting man's blessings. You ought to, everything you do, do as unto the Lord. And if we'll be diligent, God has blessings for us. Blessings that are only for the diligent. Leads to a position of influence. Gives a satisfying life. Helps you reach and fulfill your goals. Develops a profitable, resourceful mind. Opens important doors of opportunity. It helps your finances. And then look back at Colossians chapter 3. Several things I want you to see out of this. Says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man. Do you know what this helps me do? If what I'm doing today is as unto the Lord and not unto man, you know what that helps me do? It gives me a higher level of motivation. Gives me a higher level of motivation. If I'm just doing it for money, you can get motivated for money, but you do it unto the Lord, that gives you a higher level of motivation. You can do it for fame, and you can get motivated. After a while, that fame won't be so important. But you give it as unto the Lord, And you'll get satisfaction and it'll give you motivation. By the way, Christian, if you haven't found it out yet, you better find a way to keep yourself motivated. The devil will get you discouraged. The devil will get you down. The devil will get, he'll do everything he can do. If you're at all trying to get folks saved, the devil will try to keep you from doing that. Now, the devil doesn't mind anything else you do. You live a good Christian life, and the devil will help you do it. Do you know that? The devil doesn't care if you live a good Christian life. What's a good Christian life going to do? Is that going to get anybody saved? No. I'm not going to get a single person out of hell. Do you realize that? The devil doesn't care if you live a good Christian life. Go ahead and live a good Christian life. Unless you're doing it to get folks saved, then the devil will give you a fit. You can go, by the way, you can go ahead and live separated from the world. Did you know that? Won't bother the devil a bit. Unless you're living separated to get folks saved. Do you know that? The devil doesn't mind if you get separated from the world. There's a lot of religious cults that are separated from things. That doesn't bother the devil any. You can get as separated as you want to, as long as you're not doing it to get folks saved. Once you start doing it to get God's power on your life, to get folks saved, the devil doesn't like that anymore. Do you know the devil doesn't even mind if you read your Bible? As long as you're not doing it to get folks saved. If you're doing it just to get you be a good Christian, just to give you peace of mind, and to give you a peaceful life upon this earth, the devil doesn't mind that. You read your Bible to get power of God upon your life, to get folks saved, and the devil doesn't like it. He'll keep you from reading your Bible then. The devil doesn't even mind if you go to church. Drive up and down the streets of Fulton on Sunday morning. There's churches filled with cars in their parking lots. The devil doesn't mind. As long as you're going to church that's not trying to get folks saved. Now you try to go to church that's getting folks saved, the devil won't like that. He'll give you a flat tire. He'll get you mad at your wife Sunday morning. He'll do whatever he can do. Keep you from a soul winning church. But you can go to church. Devil doesn't mind you going to church. As long as you're not doing it to get folks saved. Do you realize that? By the way, devil doesn't mind it, but you won't see any blessings of God either. Because you're far better off getting God in on that thing and letting God take care of that devil than for you never have the devil ever bother you. You're far better off fighting the devil with God's power. You're far better off than just living a peaceful life, never fighting the devil, never getting anybody saved. Why are you doing what you're doing? You're doing it to get folks saved? That's where you get in the battle right there. You can do anything you want to in the Christian. You can pray. You can read your Bible. You can do anything you want to do, as long as you don't have the purpose of getting folks saved. That's why folks that don't go to a soul-winning church, they have a pretty easy time being a Christian, don't they? It's pretty easy then. You go to a place where you're trying to get folks saved, and the devil doesn't like that. He gets a little more upset about those kind of things. But you're far better off getting in the battle, because you'll get the blessings for it too. So diligence will give you sustain a higher level of motivation, because you're doing it for Jesus. If everything you do, if you say, I'm doing this, Jesus, for you, and you can realize, if I'm doing it for Him, that'll help to motivate me to do it. Keep me serving Him. And that's what we ought to do, is be diligent in all that we do. By the way, it helps us to maintain a high level of excellence in our work also. If I know God's going to inspect my work, if I know the Lord's going to inspect my work, I'm going to do a far better job than if I know just some man's going to inspect my work. Say, when God's looking down on your work and God's going to inspect it, we ought to do better work for Him. That'll help us to do better work when we're doing it as unto the Lord. If a Christian can just learn this one principle right here, diligence, 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 doing it as unto the Lord, you get satisfaction, you get motivation, you get more excellent work by being diligent and doing it as unto the Lord. By the way, it guarantees a proper reward. Guarantees a proper reward. When you're diligent, Your reward isn't coming from man. Because you're not doing it for man. Your reward is coming from the Lord. Because you're doing it for Him. How are you living your life? Who are you living your life for? Who are you working for? You working for God? You working for man? You doing it unto the Lord? Or you doing it for man? You doing it to please man? Or you doing it to please the Lord? If I'm preaching, and I preach to please man, then I'm not going to preach a lot of the things that I preach, because some of the things I preach make people mad. Because folks hear the Bible, they get convicted. They get mad. They don't like it. And I'm not going to have as high excellence in my work if I'm doing it just for man, for his praise. But you preach as unto the Lord, as pleasing unto him. You can go ahead and preach this whole Bible, no matter what anybody says. And the whole world gets mad when you preach this book right here, because you're doing it as unto the Lord. How you living your life? You living your life the praise of man? What's your motivation? Is it money? Is it fame? Is it honor? Is it a peaceable life? What's your motivation? You make your motivation as unto the Lord. And you can get money. You can get prosperity. You can get blessings. God can take care of you when you do it as unto the Lord. And so God's promised many blessings when we are diligent. All right, look back at Proverbs chapter 27. I look at chapter 28, look at verse 9. It says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." Isn't that something? He that turneth his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. That means, but here's what I have written down. You'll just write this down. I'll explain it. Go to church. Go to church. He that turneth his ear away his ear from hearing the law. That law is talking about the Bible. From hearing the Bible, even his prayer is an abomination. I've run into so many folks that say, "Well, preacher, I prayed and prayed and prayed and didn't get my prayers answered." Well, you've been in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church where you can hear the law? No. Then your prayer has been an abomination. No wonder it didn't get answered. Didn't just say your prayer wasn't going to get answered. It says your prayer is an abomination. Hear that? God says your prayer is an abomination if you're not in church. "Well, preacher, I don't go to church, but I can't get my prayers answered. I don't know what's wrong." I'll tell you what's wrong. Your prayer is an abomination. That means it's displeasing to God. God hates it if you pray without hearing the law. You need to be in church. You need to be... If you can be in church and you're not in church and you're praying, you're not going to get your prayers answered. If you can be in church and you're not... I didn't write that, by the way. I'm just reading what God said. That's His rule, not mine. He that turneth his ear from hearing the law, his prayer is an abomination. And we wonder why so many times we try to pray and can't get a hold of God. Are you hearing the law? By the way, do you realize there's things that you can get from hearing the Bible that you can't get from reading the Bible? Do you know that? There are blessings that God gives for hearing the Bible. The Bible didn't say there, "He that turneth away his ear from reading the law, his prayer shall be an abomination." It doesn't say that. It says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, his prayer shall be an abomination." Now, you ought to read your Bible, but you ought to be hearing your Bible also. You ought to be reading the Bible, but you ought to be hearing the preaching of the Word of God also. God says there are things that we can get from hearing the Bible that you can't get from reading the Bible or from praying or from doing anything else. There are certain things that God gives from hearing His Word. For instance, the Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing the Word of God." You want the kind of faith that God can give, you got to get it from hearing the Bible. Hearing. So faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. And we need to hear God's Word. There are things that we can get hearing His Word that you can't get from just reading His Word. And that's from going to church. That's where you hear the Word of God, in church. You be faithful to church. Be in church. Be faithful. Young people, you just ought to set your lives and say, I'm going to be in church. You know how some folks go to church? Wednesday night comes along, about an hour before church, and husband and wife say, well, sweetheart, what should we do tonight? Well, I don't know. What should we do? You should have already made your mind up what you're going to do. You should be in church. There are things that God gives from being in church. So, preacher, you don't have to be in church to go to heaven. I didn't say you had to go to church to go to heaven. But if you're going to heaven, you'll be in church. If you're going to heaven, you'll want to be hearing God's Word. You want to find out what it's like. By the way, this is how we're going to live in heaven. That's how you may as well start getting used to it now. That's what it's going to be like up in heaven, right there. You may as well get used to it now. Won't be such a shock to your system when you get there. Just start living like heaven now. And what we need to do is we need to realize that we just need to go to church, need to be in church, faithful. Every time there's preaching going on, ought to be there, because there's something that God gives from hearing the Bible that He doesn't give from your reading the Bible. Reading the Bible will cleanse you, but it doesn't say reading the Bible will give you faith, though. There's things that you can get from reading the Bible also. There's things that you can get from praying also. And there's things that you can get from soul winning also. And every one of those things are important. You leave out one of them and you leave out what God can give in the Christian life. There's things that you can get from tithing also, as you don't get any other way. You leave out one part of the Christian life and you're missing out on part of the blessings that God can give. You need every one of them. You need all of them. You need Bible reading. You need prayer. You need soul winning. You need being in church. You need tithing. You need soul winning. You need tithing. Did I say that one yet? At least two or three times. It's important. And so go to church. Be in church. And God will bless you for that. Well, let's finish there. And let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray you'll bless now this evening, this Bible study. Help us to take the things that have been taught and help us to apply them to our lives that we may be better able to serve you in the days to come. Help us, Lord, whatever we may do to please you. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.